Okay, this is chapter 17, lecture 7. This is my review. I want to talk about the central dogma. Francis Crick, back in the 1960s, developed this central dogma. And what he said was, information flows one way. It flows from DNA to proteins. So DNA codes for the production of proteins, or RNA, which is transcription. And then RNA codes for the production of proteins, which is translation. But proteins do not code for the production of proteins, or RNA or DNA. In Francis Crick's very own words, he said, quote, once information has passed into a protein, it cannot get out again. And if you look at my graphic down at the bottom, you can see the one-way arrows. They go from DNA. Now, DNA can, of course, replicate itself, so it can do that. But DNA goes to RNA. RNA goes to proteins, and you see no arrows going backwards. But what I love about dogma is sometimes it's challenged. And it turns out that the central dogma has been challenged, and we're going to find out about that challenge when we get to our next chapter in molecular genetics. Stay tuned. Okay. Overview of protein synthesis. This is what we've basically done this chapter. We've started with DNA. DNA makes messenger RNA. This is called transcription. Messenger RNA then leaves the cell, goes out, finds a ribosome, and you make proteins. That's translation. That's just a quick overview. Those of you that did your homework this week, you translated the DNA into a protein. And this is what it looks like. You have your DNA strand going 3 prime to 5 prime. We call it the template. Transcription gives you messenger RNA, which goes from the 5 prime to the 3 prime. And they're in these triplet codons. And then from there, you go through translation to make your protein. Their very first codon is AUG. That would code for methionine. In this picture, they haven't included the methionine. It's always the first amino acid. Sometimes it's removed later, sometimes it's there. And then you go and do each of your, you go leucine, methionine, serine, et cetera. And then you get a stop codon, and that's where it stops. And so that would be the protein right there. And then I also have in this a picture of, or a mention of what the side group is, whether it's polar or nonpolar. So that's it. That's just what your homework should have looked like. And what was the little secret message? Gattaca. Very good. We can talk about it later. Okay. On the next slide, you guys. A polysome is the same thing as a polyribosome. What does the word poly mean? Many. So this means many ribosomes. So a polysome consists of ribosomes and their growing polypeptide chains sort of moving single file along a messenger RNA. So look at, in this picture down below, here's a messenger RNA. And what you probably never realized is that you can have multiple ribosomes on that messenger RNA, all at different stages from the initiation to the elongation to the termination. It's kind of neat. So we call that a polysome or a polyribosome. The picture to the right is really cool. It shows this process inside of a prokaryote. And the reason you know it's a prokaryote is because you can see the DNA. And right from the DNA, the messenger RNA is coming off. And then you've got ribosomes attached to that, multiple ribosomes attached to that messenger RNA making proteins immediately. And the reason you know that this must be a prokaryote is because the RNA is not going through RNA processing. So this is definitely an example of a prokaryote. This next picture is figure 17.23, which is on page 315 of your book, and it is a wonderful summary of everything that's in the chapter. Let me quickly go over it with you. In the nucleus of the cell, you've got DNA. You can see the RNA polymerase is copying the messenger RNA. Now the messenger RNA goes through RNA processing. You get a poly A tail. You get a 5' cap. You remove the introns and put the exons together. Then the messenger RNA leaves the nucleus. Notice that the poly A tail leads the way, because we believe the poly A tail may have something to do with getting this out of the nucleus and into the cytoplasm. Then you've got all these transfer RNAs. You've got a bunch of amino acids. And look at this. Amino acyl transfer RNA synthetase is the enzyme that puts together a transfer RNA with its particular amino acid, so that the amino acid matches up with the proper anticodon. And then down here, you've got the messenger RNA, which is hooked up with a ribosome, a small and large subunit, and you've got your EPA sites, and you've got your transfer RNAs coming in, and then the protein, the polypeptide, is being made. And it's all there. It's all summarized in one beautiful slide. Yeah. Well, it's got more, but there's three at that far end that are the ones that match up with the codon. And those, yeah, the rest is just there. Remember, some of them actually hydrogen bond to one another, right? So they actually internally bond, but there's three on the bottom that are the anticodon. My last couple slides, this is what antibiotics do. I don't know if you guys realize this, but when you take an antibiotic, you're killing a prokaryote, right? How do you do it? Well, a lot of them actually inhibit in some way protein synthesis. If you mess up protein synthesis, you're basically killing the organism. So like erythromycin, tetracycline, streptomycin, maybe you guys have taken some of these antibiotics. Here's actually how they kill the, now that you know about protein synthesis, you can appreciate, oh, so this is how they kill the prokaryote. Pretty cool. My last slide, I say transcribed but not translated. It turns out that of your DNA, only about 1.5% of your entire DNA codes for proteins. The other 98.5 does not code for proteins. So I say, what is this non-coding DNA worth? Well, this new project called the ENCODE project is, I'm going to read this. This is their results. They're finding that most junk DNA is actually transcribed or copied into more RNA molecules than can be accounted for by most prevailing theories. And this has led scientists to the tantalizing possibility that organisms may be defined more by differences in their junk than in their actual genes. And they go on to say that the number of different RNAs performing some sort of labor in the cell is about 37,000. That's amazing. Compare with only 22,000 genes. So instead of running errands, RNA appears to be running the whole show. RNA may be the secret puppet master of genes, and RNA may actually represent a command and control system for cells, and perhaps the majority of the human genome is operated by a hidden RNA regulatory system that directs differentiation and development. And that's taken directly, I've taken that directly from a recent article in Nature, and it's amazing. Everything's upside down and on its head. We used to think DNA was the master molecule. Now we're thinking maybe RNA is the master molecule that controls what goes on with the genes. Isn't that crazy? So stay tuned in your lifetime. This is all going to be sorted out, we hope.